I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and today I am joined by Jason Rockman. He is president of customer experience agency Definition 6, and with him is Shep Ogden, co-founder and CEO of digital media and influence company Offbeat Media Group, which is a Mark Cuban company. Hi guys, how are you?
Hey. Great, Paige.
So today we are going to dive into the fun and new and somewhat complex topics of the metaverse, and we're going to discuss why the metaverse and also AR lenses are such a big opportunity in the entertainment space and a pretty new and unknown opportunity. So thank you guys both for joining me and welcome. And so Jason, just to start, give me, we have done this before, but just to lay the groundwork, give me a quick reminder of who you and Definition 6 are, and then Shep, once Jason is done, jump in and do the same with Offbeat.
Perfect. So Jason Rockman, president of Definition 6. We are, as you mentioned, a customer experience agency that really focuses on technology, analytics, and creative slash content. From a creative and content perspective, we do a ton of work in the entertainment space across production, post-production, creative development, you name it. And we work with amazing brands like ESPN, CBS Sports, Nickelodeon, Paramount Plus, HBO, TLC, and the list goes on and on. So in terms of content, we produce on average, 3,000 pieces of content per month. So really have that scale, and beyond excited to be having this conversation, Paige, with you and with my old friend, Shep.
Not that old, but okay, Shep.
Yeah, no, great to meet you. I'm Shep, CEO of Offbeat Media Group here in Atlanta. Like Jason mentioned, we got to know each other a few years ago. But yeah, here at Offbeat, we've been building content for the last 8 or so years, first starting in memes and then really, really moving more towards serious creator-led content. Over the last 3 years, that's become avatars. That's become augmented reality. We've now created AR activations, we created avatar activations, and we created content that reaches billions around the world every quarter. That's really what we're helping brands do as well. We've had the opportunity to work with major brands like McDonald's and Cheesecake Factory and DoorDash and a lot of entertainment companies. Lots of times in the music industry, but the technology we've built to power these avatars has us really, really excited about this industry and partnering with Jason here.
And then obviously you guys are both at least some of the time in Atlanta. So how did you guys come together?
Yeah, so I met Shep. I don't even know if you remember this story, but I met Shep basically, was it 4 or 5 years ago? I think.
Yeah.
We were introduced through one of your investors.
Advisors, who
I know. You and one of your partners came in to talk about virtual influencers. And it was without a doubt the first time that I had ever heard any mention of virtual influencers. So the conversation definitely had me on the edge of my seat, and I was extremely interested in it and a believer in what the concept and utilization of virtual influencers could become. And since that time, Shep and I have stayed in contact and continued to kick ideas back and forth, really focused on how metaverse and Web3 are evolving, but also on how the specific use of virtual influencers can continue to help brands connect with consumers in a more meaningful and ongoing manner.
Okay, so that's a good summary of what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you, Jason. So Shep, I didn't have that conversation with you 3 years ago. So what is a virtual influencer?
Yeah, so a virtual influencer is a first person animated character living its life throughout the internet. So primarily social media, but it's built for the sake of influence. So instead of it being, your tried and true, just like digital mascot that's attached to a brand, this is telling a first person story living on social media. That's really what's the important piece is. The important piece here is you're taking this more traditional animation technology, really building it for online, building it for influence, building it for where we're living. It kind of breaks that barrier of it being on the TV screen to actually being on social media where you're scrolling each and every day.
So when you say influencer, when I was watching some of the clips, it wasn't like, I'm sure this is a spectrum, but when I was watching some of the clips, there wasn't influence over anything specific other than sort of just interacting either on Instagram or wherever the influencer was. So when you say influencer, what do you mean specifically? What is the goal of that avatar?
Of Zero specifically, the avatar we
created? No, of any virtual influencer.
Yeah, so each virtual influencer usually has a different mission or a different journey. We like to call it the hero's journey, and just as you would with any great story. Lots of the influencers are more focused on fashion, or they're focused on telling a story about something meaningful that they believe in. I'm like, there's a bee influencer out there that's focused on saving the bees. Zero, for example, you know, he's live streaming and he's hanging out playing games every day. So he's reaching and building an influence with people that love games. You know, he can hang out and interact with them as this avatar. And then also there are more traditional brand mascots. Like, we've seen some really incredible brands launch virtual influencers that are building fandoms of hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of followers. And that's more of your traditional mascot, except they're doing it from this first person perspective. So each time you think about influence and what influence means, I think at the root of it is community building, like being able to speak to a community in a more of a first person way versus just, you know, hitting them over and over and over with brand sponsorships or paid ads. Mm-hmm. These influencers really allow you to build that relationship. And I think that's usually what the sake of this virtual influencer is really sitting on.
Virtual influencers currently exist in the internet as we know it. The metaverse is sort of a new iteration of that. Can you, staying with you, Shep, can you discuss sort of where Zero lives? We're going to meet Zero in a little bit, but where Zero lives currently on the internet and how that works, how he interacts with his followers and his community, et cetera.
Yeah, so Zero lives in this place called the Nexus Universe. He's stuck in a bunker right now. And this is a made-up world that we created. You can think of it as a universe, as IP. That's really where he sits. But what's important is he's telling out a story. He's creating content inside of this bunker each and every day. And that content is being distributed just like a normal influencer would to Instagram, to TikTok, to Snapchat, to Twitter, and a little bit to YouTube. You know, all in all, Zero launched in February of this year. So roughly 7 months ago, and he has a little over 400,000 followers so far, you know, reaching millions of people every single month. A lot of his content right now has been focused on Snapchat because we have a great partnership with them, but we are actually about to go really, really hard on Twitch, where he's actually live streaming, interacting with people each and every day.
And then when you see, actually, let's go a different direction. What do you see as the metaverse at this point? Let's discuss what that looks like and then where you're going to see virtual influencers live there. So can you, I'll start with you, Shep, and then I will then let Jason speak again.
Yeah. So the metaverse, it's a really broad term and it's really hard to define. And the way I like to define it is you first have to think about the building blocks that make it. You've got augmented reality, you've got virtual reality, you've got avatars, games, cryptocurrency, NFTs, and immersive worlds. But most importantly to me, you have to think about it as a point in time. And a point in time where all those building blocks that I just talked about really turn into, they're very ingrained in our day-to-day lives, and our digital lives start to become as important as our physical lives. So like the metaverse for me is really starting to become a realistic thing. As a Gen Z entrepreneur, my most and expensive and prized possessions are already digital goods. You know, the way I like to think about it is these building blocks, they're just new mediums for experiencing this digital world. And so that's whenever you think about like, what is a metaverse? It's all these digital tools coming to the forefront in your day to day.
Okay. And then, so Jason, as a person who comes from a more traditional marketing background, what do you see? How do you see the metaverse?
So I think about it in really, really simple, digestible terms. I think about the metaverse as the next big platform after smartphones. Is essentially what is being built. So we can hypothesize that the metaverse will be heavily reliant on VR and AR, but when we think about adoption curves, which is a really, really important aspect to where we are today in terms of where we could be 10 or 15 years down the road, we have to remember that things take time, and the metaverse could actually end up being something that we're not really even thinking about today, because we don't know yet if that, for lack of better phrasing, the straw that breaks the camel's back, or that moment that proves out to be the primary catalyst for widespread adoption, we don't know if that's been created yet. We can hypothesize that you know, AR and VR are absolutely the vehicles that will take us into the space. But I think we still need to figure out exactly how that's going to work and what it's going to take to get to that point of widespread adoption. There is a lot of talk going back to Shep's comments about the foundation and the building blocks. And I think that's where you get into the cryptocurrency and blockchain and that next level of permission, personalization, and privacy that is ideally out there. This is, you know, that's really where you start to understand what it's going to take to build out what it is we will potentially and hopefully be able to experience. But for me, a lot of it goes back to the adoption curve, and a lot of people forget that mobile devices and data exchange on mobile phones actually started in 2001 in Japan, and it took another 14 or 15 years before it really started to accelerate and widespread use of iPhones and smartphones as we see it today really took off. Shep, what's your thought on how many years into the concept of the metaverse? How many years in are we?
I think we're likely a few years in, right? Because whenever you and I first talked about virtual influencers, that was 2018, 2019, probably 2019. And that was before the year of the metaverse that really happened in 2020, 2021. It was the building blocks were already starting to be laid back then. And someone said something to me really interestingly the other day that, like, Jason, you might have a better idea of exactly what year this was, but like probably 2009 or something like that was the year of mobile. 2010 was the year of mobile. 2011 was the year of mobile. 12, 13, 14, 15, the year of mobile. And at the end of every year, nothing seemed like it actually happened and nothing seemed like it was completely different. But then one day we all woke up and all we used were smartphones. And I think the same thing is going to happen here. I think the next 7 years is going to be the year of the metaverse. Every year we're going to see something, you know, new and bigger coming out, and Apple's going to release their AR glasses and Meta's going to release theirs, and they're not going to be mainstream adopted super, super quickly. But the next thing you know, it's going to be here and we're just going to wake up and it's super, super clear. And I don't know if it's going to be a true day, but one day we'll wake up and it'll be here.
Yeah, it'll be like pandemic. Like all of a sudden you'll look around and be like, oh, I guess we're not in this anymore. Weird. Yeah.
Hopefully. We think about it in terms of 2030. Like let's see where we're at in 2030, which feels like forever from now, but you know, it'll be like that. Well, that's sort of the benchmark that we have to see kind of where we are and how things are shaping up.
Okay, so I could ask about 400 questions about what you just said, but actually what I want to do is let's go ahead, Shep, and introduce Zero, because I think that will give people a much better idea of what we're talking about, and then as we proceed forward. So I'm going to toss it to you, and let's meet them.
Sounds good. Zero, can you come join us?
Yeah. Hello, everybody. How's it going?
What's up, Zero? How are you?
Good, good. I'm hanging out here in my bunker. I heard you were introducing me, so I'm excited to hear your introduction of me.
Look, Zero, you and I talk all the time, so I'm not going to hog the mic too much. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let Jason and Paige ask you some questions, but a great way to kick this off is Zero is an avatar created here at Offbeat Media Group and living in the Nexus universe, stuck in his bunker, which Zero, maybe give us a tour of your bunker. Does that sound like something you could do?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do it. Let me stand up to do this, right?
Paige, Jason, feel free to interrupt. Feel free to ask any questions. This is all real time, live streamed. I understand.
Nice.
All right. So I guess I'll take it from here. I'll save Shep's voice. What's up, everybody? My name is Zero, and this is my bunker. For those who can't see, it is huge. Okay, so I am definitely not in a bedroom. I actually have three rooms down here, including where I'm standing right now, which is my computer setup. I woke up here in February. And since then, I've been just making content and getting to know people online because I was lucky enough to have a bunker that has internet connection. So in that time, I've been all over. I've been on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, just trying to learn more about, you know, where I am, but more importantly, like how I connect to the real world. And it turns out I come from the real world, so we have a lot in common. And the cool thing about what I do is I'm real. I'm not a robot. I'm a cyborg. You know, I lost my hand a little bit a while ago, but I'm just a regular person making content on the internet and meeting a lot of people. So where I'm at right now is where I live stream from. Again, for those who can't see, I have in front of me a three-monitored computer setup, which is really fun. But my favorite room in the entire bunker that I'm going to show off is my movie theater. And I was watching House of the Dragons on it last night. And let me tell you, it was high def and amazing. Let me show you guys that. Oh, and by the way, for those who don't know, I can teleport. I don't know if that's something that most people can do, but it gets you around a lot faster. So now I'm standing in my movie theater, and on the screen right now is the Zoom call that I'm on with all these lovely people. Hi, that's us. And this is where I kick back, I relax, I watch content, but more importantly, I use this as like my interview room. So on my Twitch live streams, I like to interview people and get to know other content creators. I interviewed a DJ, another Twitch streamer. I talked to YouTubers, which is a lot of fun. And yeah, I have been having a blast making content for, regular social media. And I found out, it's not easy to get on Snapchat, but I have 4 shows on Snapchat. So I've actually been making a lot of content there. You know, little flex there. and yeah, so that's my bunker. That's the tour. I have a lot of like cool gadgets and gizmos down here. I actually have a phone where I can do... There it is. So I have a phone from Samsung down here with me that I use to make my TikToks with, like every other content creator. And yeah, so that's me. This is my bunker, and I'm down to answer any questions that you guys have for me.
Excellent. Paige, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You start and then I'll go.
So Zero, are you into gaming at all?
Oh, I love gaming. Yeah. So when I first started streaming, every Wednesday, I actually live streamed Warzone Wednesday. Love Call of Duty. But I play a lot of video games.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you Call of Duty or Halo? But it sounds like...
Oh my goodness, you're going to do it to me, Jason. You're going to make me pick. I have to go with Halo because it opened the world for first-person shooters, in my opinion. I wasn't around when it came out, but I've caught up on the history of Halo, and I got to say, they set a lot of foundation for the gaming world.
Very cool, very cool.
Zero, how do you decide who you want to interview, what kind of YouTubers or TikTokers, and how do you interact with them in the bunker?
Yeah, good question. So usually if somebody interesting crosses my feed, because I'm always on my phone, if they cross my feed and I see them repeatedly, I kind of make a mental note. I say, ooh, I'm finding you. Let me reach out and contact you. There's really no prerequisite though. It's one, I look for variety. You know, I don't want to get the same type of guest. If I just got YouTubers every day, it would be boring. So I look for variety, or I look for people doing really, really different things. And then the second way I find people is my audience actually recommends content creators that they enjoy watching. They'll tag me in a tweet and they'll say, hey Zero, check this person out. And that gives me a lot of insights into what people are interested in at the time. And the last way is actually people, again, not to flex, but people actually DM me a lot asking, yo, how do I get on your show? That's how I found the DJ. He found my Instagram and then he said, hey, I have a new album coming out on Spotify and I want to talk about it. And I was like, hey, you have really cool music. Why don't you come on? And that's how I find my guests.
Nice. Yeah,
Zero's also did, he showed off his Samsung phone, but he actually launched the Galaxy earlier this year in partnership with Samsung as one of the first ever Metaverse live shopping events, which was a really great way of like bringing this branded object into his world and really showcasing like just how he can interact with it, which was really, really cool. He got what we like to coin and got a few big headlines on a lot of the major publications, the selfie of the Metaverse, which is what he was able to do, was take a selfie of everyone he was interviewing from the Metaverse. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Hey, Zero, quick question. When we think about some of the big entertainment franchises or media franchises that are out there, like Harry Potter or Super Mario, Marvel, Star Wars, what are you into?
Oh my gosh, Marvel, I'm into everything. So that's a very broad question. I love everything entertainment. Like I am a film junkie. So I watch all kinds of films, but you really can't go wrong. Like Marvel is one of those franchises that I watch every single piece of content that comes out. It'd be really cool if one day I could be a Marvel superhero. Just gonna throw it out there. But yeah, I love Marvel. Harry Potter's a really good one. I kind of wish they came out with some. I hope they come out with some new content. You know, it's been a while since number 7. But there are tons and tons of franchises out there. I still haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, which is, you know, I'm just waiting for it to come down to the bunker soon. You know, I love like really classic movies that my audience may not know because they're a little bit younger sometimes. But when I show them that, they're like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. Movies used to be really, really dope and not just about explosions.
Zero, why do you think you've managed to build your following so it just to such a big following so quickly?
A lot of time on my phone. How did I do it? Really good question. One, I started by making content that I just asked myself, hey, like, what do I want to watch? You know, I was scrolling through the internet and I thought to myself, you know, what do I want to watch? You know, I'm kind of bored. Things are kind of stale or people are doing the same things. So I started from a place of what would I want to watch? And then as soon as I got that first viewer, I started reading their comments and they were like, hey, what if you did this? So I started making content that, like, you know, it's almost like if you had a small group of 5 friends and you were like, hey, it would be cool if we made this. I took that mentality around it. So I started like crowdsourcing ideas and pulling ideas that were in my comments to make my content. And the second key thing that I did that, you know, content creators are very busy people, so I don't fault them. But something that I do that others don't is I am constantly like talking to my audience. I feel like one-to-one relationships are super important. I don't want my viewers to think, hey, I'm just putting this out and it's a one-way line of communication. When I make a video or I live stream, I want to have a conversation back and forth. So it's a two-way street. So every piece of content that I make, I want to encourage people to have a conversation with me. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What ideas do you have? And I think that makes me super unique because the audience feels like they have input into the stuff that I'm making that they enjoy.
Zero, how do you think your life will be different once things become more focused on the metaverse?
That's a good question. I don't think that too much about what my day-to-day will change. And the reason for that is because I'm kind of like ahead of the game. I can teleport, so I feel like more content creators will start to be able to teleport maybe, and they might get some cool follow cameras. So if you're listening to the podcast, my camera is actually following me around as I pace in my bunker. So I feel like as the metaverse gets bigger, more and more creators will be able to do what I do. I just feel like I have a head start and I'm kind of just in here already and I'm already doing my thing, you know? So I'm excited because I'm gonna have more friends here. I'm gonna be able to talk to people. Different types of content is gonna be made. And I don't think the audience is gonna be ready for like the amount of cool content that's gonna come out.
I think to answer that a little bit more too, I think the opportunities for collaboration will be incredibly, incredibly creative as well as easier as this world continues to get bigger, as well as you think about Zero being stuck in his bunker right now. Zero's IP, Zero the avatar can really go anywhere. So that's something that gets really exciting as all of these immersive experiences get bigger and bigger and bigger, being able to bring in collaborations, bring in avatars, bring in Zero, all into these new worlds, really just becomes that much more realistic.
Zero, do you think people will be able to meet you in the metaverse?
Oh my good, that'd be really cool. One, I really, really hope so. I'm not super smart when it comes to building technology and transporting people. I'm more of a content creator, not an engineer, but I'm really excited for people to come meet me. And in the interim, I've been going out to meet people in the world. So I actually brought a TV out to a sidewalk once where joggers were going by. And I put I had my friends put a webcam on it so I could talk to people in the world. So I'm doing my part to bridge it. But when people are ready to start hanging out with me, absolutely. I'm so excited to get some friends down here or meet them because I can be anywhere at any time, which is, you know, awesome.
Which also Zero has done quite a few speaking engagements around the world and he got to meet people in person as well, which is pretty cool. He's been able to come with me basically on a TV where he was talking to people, you know, here in the real world, which is a cool experience.
So Shep, Can you talk a little bit about go into a little more detail about what you were talking about with regard to the Samsung collaboration that you guys both mentioned, and then sort of what that looks like in terms of maybe a model for future collaboration with brands?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting. When you look at the technology that we've built here, this is the highest end real-time technology to power avatars, period. Like there's nothing else on the market that you're going to see where you could have a live stream experience like this. And that's really important for a couple of reasons. One, it allows realistic cost in terms of content production. It also allows very, very quick content production, meaning we can jump in on trends. So for us, we think about it from a perspective of how can Zero collaborate with trends? How could Zero collaborate with brands? You know, how could he bring it into his world, such as what he's done with the Samsung phone? But there's also a world where we're bringing to life IP, leveraging this technology. And that IP is interacting with Zero in real time, hanging out, having a good time on the internet. That's something that gets us really, really excited.
Mm-hmm. And then for you, Jason, what sort of opportunities do you see?
Let me jump back really quick, just to Shep's last comment. There's so much IP that sits dormant every year, and there's such an opportunity for entertainment brands to revitalize that intellectual property through new ways, like having this meaningful interaction with a virtual influencer like Zero or another virtual influencer that is really designed to connect with the most appropriate audience, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so much flexibility within that world. And then, you know, Paige, I'm sorry, can you repeat your original question for me?
I was just asking you what sort of brand collaboration opportunities do you see around virtual influencers?
Yeah, so I see it around the existing dormant IP as the big one. And then I think about it just in terms of how brands can take a step back and think about the overall customer experience that they're working to create. Mm-hmm. And when you're going through that process, you're thinking about what it takes to create truly a branded or on-brand experience across every single touch point. So the sort of the lens that I think about Zero and virtual influencers at large is really where in the experience do you allow people to have that interaction? And then from a return on investment perspective, where is it most impactful to get or empower or persuade an active or prospective customer to take that next step closer to a conversion or an acquisition, however the brand is defining that?
Do you, Jason, expect, and then I'm going to kick it to Shep too, but do you expect brands to have their own virtual influencers, like so branded virtual influencers, if you will?
I think that it's funny. I think Shep and I have actually talked about this, right? The prominence of what we'll call like brand mascots or brand mm-hmm. characters used to be substantial. Mm-hmm. Going back to, I think, you know, if we look at the history of TV and TV advertising, going back to the 60s and 70s, the Jolly Green Giant.
Tony the Tiger.
The Burger King. The Tiger, yeah. Snap, Crackle, Pop. Like there were just a lot of characters out there. I think brands have the opportunity to test into that again in a whole new way that allows people to interact more intimately with their brand. But then there's also the opportunity just to have these collaborative partnerships with existing virtual influencers mm-hmm. that are most appropriate to their target audience. You know, and we're still at this big macro level, but ultimately, Shep, I'd love your thoughts, right? I assume that the concept of virtual influencers will get down to that micro influencer level where, you know, maybe Zero is really most relevant to five different core attributes or characteristics of a very small segment of the population versus today, Zero, I think you're really relevant to a very broad group of the population.
So Shep, what's your take on that in terms of if there would be sort of brand mascots or not?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I really agree with Jason, what he said around looking at what did you call it, Jason? Like IP that's no longer currently like necessarily
at dormant, like yeah, dormant IP, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like dormant IP. I think there's such a massive, massive opportunity here. And I've got so many examples, honestly, and we haven't talked about it, but we own a website called virtualhumans.org. And I highly recommend checking it out because it really goes deep into this world of all of how this stuff can be done. But one great example right now is Barbie. Barbie used to be a toy, right? Now it's living on YouTube, creating content each and every day, reaching millions and millions and millions of people. And the reason this is so important, I read a great story one time about Star Wars, and I'm going to apply it to Barbie, to Star Wars, where Star Wars, this incredible, incredible IP that's been built, is, you know, they make a lot of their money through selling merch, as we all know, selling merch, selling apparel, selling goods, selling collectibles, et cetera. But the value earned by a four-year-old swinging a lightsaber is not from the $8 to $10, $15 that they made on selling that lightsaber, but it's made on that four-year-old growing up into an adult, remembering that swinging of the lightsaber for the rest of their lives. How do you integrate an IP? How do you integrate a brand into giving it to someone's life where they can interact with it on a day-to-day basis? Right now, most major franchises are releasing content on a 6-month, 12-month, 18-month, 2-year, 3-year timeline. Virtual influencers, especially those that can create content in real time on the go as a digital creator could, can build that type of relationship that 4-year-old can have with a lightsaber just as they could, you know, anytime, really, through the use of Twitch, through the use of Instagram, YouTube. They can actually build that relationship with those fans, and that just makes it that much bigger whenever they do want to sell merch, whenever they do want to sell apparel, whenever they do drop the next movie. Being able to interact with those brands is I think what's so, so powerful. Not to mention, this is just becoming the new norm. We haven't talked about that, but I think it's one of the most fascinating things if you think about it. Kids these days, teenagers these days, they're spending their lives as avatars. Hundreds of millions of people are using Bitmojis each and every day. Hundreds of millions of people are playing Fortnite as avatars each and every day. They're spending billions of dollars on apparel for their avatars. So the fact of this like whole digital identity, digital avatar interacting with you, it's just normal to anyone under, you know, 30 years old at this point. It's just like a normal new thing that happened over the last 10 years. We've just been slowly conditioned to accept it.
I think Fortnite's also a good example of sort of the prototype, right? Like I think Fortnite sort of started to show what it could be if that way of interacting with the world became more global. So like my favorite example is the Travis Scott concert, but it was so thinking outside of the box to have a big, huge concert in a digital environment that people could participate in. And then you see it in all sorts of different ways. This is a stupid question coming from a human brain who thinks linearly, but can Zero be creating content and appearing on platforms sort of all the time in all places? He doesn't necessarily stuck with being one place at one time, right?
Short answer. So I'm gonna ask a quick question. Do we need to keep Zero hanging out with us? Or I know Zero's got a lot of content to create. So I'm not sure if we're gonna.
I think Zero can go and create content. Thank you so much for being here, Zero.
Thank you, Zero. Thank you everybody for having me. Enjoy the rest of your chat.
Thanks, Zero. I'll text you if you need to come back in.
Thank you guys. Yep, absolutely. Bye.
Thanks, Zero.
Bye.
So that's a great question around just basically the how an avatar can be thought of. So that they can do both. That's the beautiful thing about an avatar. You know, they can create content on multiple platforms. They can be live. They can be live in multiple places at once. They can be, and they're not a human being at the end of the day. So you can really think about it as IP, and the technology powering Zero could be powering 100 Zeros all at once, very, very quickly.
It's crazy a little bit because you're interacting with Zero and it's really like my brain is processing it like a person.
Yeah.
That's what we focus so much on with the technology is Zero doesn't just feel like an animated character, like a little avatar Bitmoji thrown on here. You really feel that human emotion coming out of it. And it's because of so much of what we built into the actual character. Mm-hmm. Like the technology powering the character. You see the emotion coming out of his face. You see the excitement. You see when he gets angry. You see all of this different type of emotion that really just, you don't get that uncanny feeling at all with Zero. It's just as almost like, you can just relate to him. You can just bond with him.
But then I felt bad. I was leaving Zero out of the conversation. And then I'm like, Zero is not real. It's fine. Anyway, okay. So, and then when you're saying he's creating content, like that AI is just going, like, for example, I saw on Instagram a clip. It was him doing like a meme around, it was funny that he said he hadn't seen Top Gun Maverick because this meme was around Top Gun Maverick. But so that's something just that Zero, the AI, goes and creates on its own. And then do you guys review any of that, or he's just making it and throwing it up on social media?
So there's a team working with Zero. And yeah, that, okay. that team's helping things with the content ideas, what's coming out of the brand, et cetera.
Okay, so there's a production of things and then they insert Zero in and interact with him accordingly.
Exactly.
Okay, because I was like, it's just organically making content. Why am I here?
there's still, right now, in 2022, you still very much need the human mind behind a lot of this.
Okay, thank God, Chet.
Yeah, in the next 10, 15, 20 years, to Jason's point about 2030, I don't know. I've seen some insane stuff over the last few months and last year, that 2030, like,
yeah, who knows?
Some really incredible content and not anyone behind it. I don't know what that means for the world, but that's another topic.
Yeah.
For another
time. yeah. Okay, let's switch gears a little and talk about AR lenses, which is another big topic we were going to talk about. So augmented reality lenses, correct? I think this topic is so interesting because I feel like we've seen a lot of kind of not ready for prime time in the AR lens space, meaning it's come up and people have thought about it and there are lenses, but as to your point before, Jason, like you haven't actually found the why. Like it's not like the smartphone. I think it might come to a point where it will be like a smartphone, but as of yet, it is not. So Shep, let me ask you, you said that's sort of where you guys got your start, but where do you come from with regard to AR lenses and where do you see the market right now?
I think they're definitely here in a big, big way. So we started by creating lenses on Snapchat that we were working with like Republic Records and Warner Music Group and other major record labels, helping major artists release a lens that their fans can interact with and play their new song at the same time. So it's a really incredible way of bringing that fan interactivity into something that they wanted to promote. We've now done that with major brands. Think of it as, you know, being able to play a game with a hamburger falling down, you know, while you're playing that game within a social media app. That's really where a lot of that started. But now we're building lenses on Snapchat, Instagram, and TikTok, and Facebook. Those are the main four platforms that we spend a lot of our time on. And these lenses are really just meant to be something you can interact with. They're meant to help you play a game. They're meant to make you look different. They're meant to be fun. They're meant to be shareable. And over the last 6 months, you know, we've probably created 2 or 3 dozen lenses that have been seen by over 3 billion people, like seen, played by tens of millions and millions of people who decided to play with the lens and then share it to hundreds of people. It's been seen by billions of people. It's insane just how impactful these lenses can be. And it's because it's just a fun way of interacting on social media. So there's a whole bunch of stuff where you can take it kind of to the next level and bring it into the real world. But right now, the easiest way of getting a fan to interact with your brand is by launching an augmented reality experience, a lens, filter, whatever it is, on one of those major 3 platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, like I just mentioned. It really, you have direct distribution to your fans and they can easily interact with it. And the most important part is then you can share. They will share it and you can measure that sharing. It's pretty powerful.
Okay, just to clarify, I was thinking about more like Oculus, Google Glass, things like that. You're talking more about like Snapchat lenses, things that are more online. So those are 2 sort of separate things that live in a similar space.
Yeah, definitely. And so you think about it and it's like, that's where this stuff started. Like you can do it with your phone. Like the glasses are going to take this to a whole nother level, like an absolute another level. But right now people, like I mentioned earlier, 10 years ago, we were being conditioned by Bitmojis and whatnot. That's just normal usage is to be playing with this avatar. That same thing's happening right now with augmented reality. We're doing it completely with our iPhones, with our smartphones. And now that is moving. You know, we see Meta launching their smart glasses, we see Apple launching their smart glasses, we see the new Meta Quest coming out. Like these are really taking it to a whole nother level. But it is a hardware requirement that most people already have a smartphone. So it's like that bridge. Like the way I see it is like a lot of the stuff will be accessible via an iPhone or a smartphone. Then it will also move more towards these glasses as that becomes more mainstream. But the stuff's already being built today to use.
And the reality is that AR is a proven experience I think we can call it an experience. It's a proven experience that drives preference and drives purchase and engagement for consumers. There's a ton of data out there that shows that I'll speak in really broad terms, right? Like the vast majority, or well over 65 to 70% of individuals that experience a branded AR experience are more likely to and or do purchase that product. So when you think about home decor AR experiences or product personalization, being able to virtually try on different garments, product demonstrations, fitness and exercise, all of the, like, that experience, 6 times out of 10 leads to a purchase, which is pretty powerful. And that those experiences are the 1, 2, and 3 steps closer to it becoming, or AR becoming, part of our everyday lives. And once the, so we don't confuse the term lenses, once the eyewear is figured out, I really think it's going to be off to the races, and you're going to see some pretty rapid adoption take place once the model is right, or the hardware is right.
I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier, the year of mobile. And it's like, I don't know who on this call is wearing a smart Apple Watch right now or another smart watch, but I can very vividly remember, I don't know, 7 years ago, whenever these came out, whatever it was, like, kind of thinking, oh, that's kind of cool, kind of looks dorky, I don't know if I'd actually want to wear one. And then it just very quickly started to become the thing. If you want to be health conscious, you wear this. If you want to be tech centric, you wear this. Like, if you want to be all these different things, it would help you live that life. These glasses are going to be the exact same thing. The first day they come out, it's going to be the innovators. And then it'll take 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and it'll be just absolutely adopted by the mainstream.
Yeah.
So let's pull these threads together and say, Jason, what do you think is the opportunity for brands looking at virtual influencers in the metaverse with AR lenses or AR experiences? What is that combined to look like?
Yeah, I think for me, it combines to look like working to create immersive on-brand experiences. Mm-hmm. And there are a multitude of ways to get there, but immersion is a key part of what makes this so special. The challenge that we face today is just the number of eyeballs. Mm-hmm. The reality is this is not ready for the masses yet. Mm-hmm. And in terms of being able to create a truly immersive, repeatable experience, and by repeatable, I mean it's there and you want to come back to it again and again and again, the options are pretty limited. I immediately go to gaming as that repeatable immersive experience. How do we start to evolve beyond that? But right now, gaming for me is an incredible place to start. And then eventually getting to the point where, zero's having people over. Does your brand fit with someone like Zero or one of the other virtual influencers that are out there?
How do you see it panning out, Chef?
So I think it's very much like that. When I think about Zero, I really think about it just being fully immersive, like from start to finish. That full experience that you have today can be had with a digital avatar. That can be done through things like augmented reality lenses, virtual reality, metaverses, immersive experiences. And so what I mean by that is, let's take it as Zero, or let's take it as a major franchise IP brought to life as an avatar, as a virtual influencer. So now, this avatar is on the big screen because it is the Hollywood franchise. It's on the big screen. Now it's living with you and hanging out with you and talking back to you on social media. And then you can pull out your phone or you can wear your glasses and you can actually see it in the real world. And it's helping, sell in branded sponsorships, for example. It's like it's at Walmart whenever you walk in saying, hey, come to the entertainment aisle and you get some DVDs. It's that full experience from actually being on the big screen to on social media, where you're interacting with it on its day to day, but then also in your more personal experiences, like helping you shop, helping you make any real major decisions. Like that avatar can happen through VR, through AR. That stuff that's coming out very shortly. I mentioned earlier, Zero hanging out on a TV in person. There's holograms, they're very realistic and they're not as expensive as they used to be. You could bring to life Zero in the real world now and have that experience go all the way from the big screen, all the way down to in-person in a store and have it one-to-one. I think that's where the stuff starts to get really, really fascinating over the next 2 years.
That was my other question too. You've mentioned this a couple of times, but for brands who are thinking about doing this, I think there's always sort of an ROI question around it. So what does that curve look like? At what point do you think it makes sense for brands to sort of check this out? Because I think another thing that I've definitely seen already happening on the metaverse where people are dipping their toes in, and I get why, but then the experience is sort of underwhelming because they don't have money or it's just not quite all the way do you know what I mean? It's not all the way built out, but I feel like it's just the very early days. So, but when you're talking to brands or when they're thinking about investing in this kind of thing, how do you think they should be thinking about it?
I really think it's about how you break down what is a metaverse, like we talked about earlier. If you're thinking about the platforms like Sandbox and Decentraland, those have possibly really bright futures. But right now, that's not where the eyeballs are. Not where the eyeballs are. So if you're looking at building out an avatar or doing a partnership with Fortnite, you can reach hundreds of millions of people today. And I think that's where the bigger opportunity really lies right now. I'm sorry, will you also repeat the question, the second part of the question?
Same thing though, is just that as brands are thinking about wanting to dip their toe in here, what should they be thinking about in terms of ROI and an investment?
Yeah, so ROI, if you think about it, like right now, if you're monetizing IP specifically, like if you're monetizing a toy or a video game character or a movie character or a sports mascot, right? If you're monetizing any of these, or if you're not monetizing it enough, it's because it doesn't have as deep of a fandom as it should. Like building that fandom, building that relationship with the fans, that allows you to sell more merch, that allows you to do more branded integrations, that allows you to launch more or have more viewers whenever you launch a show, or launch a podcast, whatever it is. It allows you to build out a really strong ecosystem around that IP. These avatars that we're building today, that's helping do that today. It's not necessarily in the future. It's like being able to build millions of followers around an IP can really help grow how you can actually monetize that IP. It's not something that has to be in the future. It can be today.
Well, I think it's also what you're saying, like around Zero is he's already got followers. So if you're a brand and you're jumping in to launch Samsung phone, you don't have to really spend a lot of time building anything out. You're piggybacking on what's already exists.
And you think about Zero's already making six figures, like without the branded integration. Zero's generating six figures of revenue just from creating compelling content that his fans are watching. You know, he's building that fandom. And then he's getting paid for some sponsorships too.
So Zero's been on for 7 months and he's like kicking everybody's butts. That's rude, Zero.
I know, right?
That's how he can afford those nice threads.
Yeah, exactly. And the fake hand. Yeah.
One of these days you're gonna have to figure out how to sell the jacket because everyone wants it.
Zero merch. Great. All right, I'm gonna land the plane here. Jason, what would you like to leave us with regarding this conversation as you look forward to virtual influencers, metaverse, AR lenses toward the future for brands? What would you like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think the opportunity for brands to start to test their way into the metaverse, whatever that is today, right? That's where we started the conversation. It's still a little broad. You're really... Marketing teams have to shift their thinking. As you grow up being a marketer, it's always about what are our business goals and objectives? What are the strategies we're going to execute to support those business goals and objectives? And then what are the tactics? Mm-hmm. I think in today's world, as it relates to the metaverse, and because options are fairly limited, think about your business goals and objectives. People are going to throw stuff at me. Jump right down to tactics and start thinking about what are the different things that you could do and which could potentially ladder back up to your business goals and objectives, and figure out how much it costs to run a test to see what response you get from different tactics. And take your time. We're not in an environment where you should go all in on one specific tactic or get completely distracted by the new shiny object. Take your time, learn about the different options that are out there and try something. And if you're a brand that is not financially in a position to take a big swing at something, or even invest in a testing scenario, carve out the time to really track what other brands are doing, both inside your industry and outside, and see if there are any meaningful learnings that you can leverage to build out a business case that you can take up to the executive leadership of your organization to get the funds that you need to dip your toe in the water.
I think one thing that you said, Shep, that I think is really true and interesting and that the smartest brands know is this idea of what you said is tapping into fandom to make sure that you're connecting, and that's sort of a virtuous circle. And then, and also, yeah, creating that relationship like the four-year-old with the lightsaber, but creating that relationship so you're in a place where fans really want to be, and they want to be there a lot. They want to be there often. And I actually, I mean, we've talked about House of the Dragon several times now, but I do feel like HBO with Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, they do a really good job of creating that world. And then many other brands that you guys mentioned, Marvel, et cetera, but that's part of the genius of it. And it goes, it's interesting because it goes so far beyond the traditional 30-second spot that we barely ever talk about now, but you see it sort of becoming like less and less part of what you might do. But anyway, Shep, let me let you, I'll give you the last word, but when you see all of this and where this is going, what would you tell brands to be doing right now?
I agree with Jason really well. I don't know if we're going to have a strategy out there right now. This is the perfect strategy, but this is the future. Right. I mean, the trends are just, or the data is just showing the trends are here and the trends are coming and they're going to continue to stay. And I heard a very interesting thing the other day, but it's like, you think about the amount of money that's being invested into the metaverse and the crypto and the NFTs and the avatars, all of these different worlds. And it's like, if you throw enough money at a toaster, something's going to happen, is what I heard the other day. And like that's what's happening here right now. We're seeing billions and billions and billions of dollars from some of the biggest investors in the world moving money from previous types of investments into this new types of investments. It's clear that if you follow where the dollars are going, where the smartest talent in the world's going, this is going to be the future. And so learning how to do it right now, I think that it really is probably one of the most strategic things you could do in today's time. Not necessarily thinking about the strategy of it, but thinking of strategically, how do I learn all about it? Because this is going to be the future. The world's going to continue to become more immersive through virtual reality, gaming, augmented reality, being able to communicate and interact with an avatar. So if you're not jumping into this world, I could definitely recommend really starting to get your bearings on what, at least what are the building blocks, had a base understanding of each one of those so that you can see as each one of those come to full mainstream market, you're ready to attack it.
Okay, I think that's an awesome place to end and a good note. This is the future. Everyone pay attention. Jason, Shep, Zero Who Left, thank you guys so much for being here. I really appreciate it. It was fascinating.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was a blast.
Thanks, Paige.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief podcast. If you have suggestions for conversations, please reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Promax Global or on Instagram and Twitter at Promax_Global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you can also rate and review us, or on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thanks for listening.